You're listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. If it's post-apocalyptic, we're talking about it.
Hello and welcome back to the 79th episode of the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. I am your host, Sean, senior editor here at postapocalyptic.com. We're almost to 80. Can you believe that? 79. That is crazy. So, we have another news-filled episode this week, as we normally do. There's never a shortage of news. I don't know what it is. There's never a shortage. There's always something to talk about. And there's always something to write about, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so many shows going on right now. There's so much news, and we have it right here. This is where I talk about it. This is where I take the week's news and kind of, you know, elaborate on a few of the big topics that I like to talk about, I guess you could say. So let's get into this first little bit here. It is the first of the month. Well, first week of the month. And this first week of the month usually has the Kickstarter, the top Kickstarter post for the month. And so we're in July, of course. Sorry to all of you who didn't realize that and change your calendars yet, but we are in July right now. And so we have a whole new group of top 10 projects, you know, campaigns on Kickstarter. And these are post-apocalyptic only, right? That's the only real constraint. The rest is they can be comic books or games or books or movies or whatever, just as long as they fall within that post-apocalyptic genre. And what's funny is, you know, I do this every month, and Kickstarter doesn't really make it easy to look for post-apocalyptic things. I mean, I can do a search, of course, but it's very specific. So if you look up post-apocalyptic, and something has the word apocalypse in it, you're not going to find it. If you look, you know, and vice versa, if you look up apocalypse, it's not going to have apocalyptic. So I look up survival, I look up apocalypse, post-apocalyptic, all those words I can barely say all together and do a search for those. And then what I do is I end up finding about maybe 30 or 40 of them, and I kind of whittle it down to my 10 favorite. And what's crazy is, you know, this is my 10 favorite, of course, but it also has to do with kind of the success of you know, where this is going, where this project is going. Not so much how well it's going at the time of me writing it, it's just how well I think it'll go. And that's based on how well their campaign is, how well they built that campaign. And that includes videos, photos, examples, great stretch goals, all this stuff. If you're not familiar with Kickstarter, check it out and see kind of what, you know, how it works out. There's the stretch goals where there's an initial goal. If you go past that, you get additional items. I've talked about this before on the podcast. You know, I'm a big fan of Kickstarter, right? And I find that it's kind of like a way that I like to go shopping. And I know that's weird, but you get a discount, you know, you get your stuff super cheap, you get it early access, super cheap. They always have some kind of, you know, incentive to make you support them. And in turn, they'll give you the very first look at this item. Well, that doesn't always work out. You know, I've never had a campaign not give me a reward before, but those rewards don't always kind of, you know, meet my expectations. So that said, I did have a nice list of my 10 favorite from this month. And they include everything from, like I mentioned, you know, there's games on here. There's comic books. There's a lot of comic books. And once again, I tend to do this a lot, although it's not really on purpose. The top two are tabletop role-playing games. I just find that, I don't know what it is. It's just like these top two are always so well done. You know, these include miniatures and just a big elaborate, not only like board games like that, but also tabletop, like an entire tabletop role-playing game. Like think Dungeons and Dragons, but post-apocalyptic. This whole campaign, this whole world is built and they're willing to, you know, if you're willing to give some money ahead of time, they're willing to give you the source books and everything. So it's really cool. I really like it. Really a lot of fun. The top two, I won't read through all 10, but the top two, I have number two is one called Wasteland Sagas, which is a tabletop role-playing game. Looks incredible. It's already funded. Right now, it's at 107% funded. So that's going to happen. You know, if it's over 100% funded, it's going to happen. And then my number one for this month is Splintered Lands deck building game. It's a tabletop game, technically, but it is a deck building game. And that is, again, that's 146% funded. So that's going to happen. It's a definite thing. And both of these end at the end of the month. Wasteland Sagas is the 21st and Splintered Lands is the 28th. So you have time. You know, if you want to check these out, you have time to jump in, you know, and fund these. And it sounds like I'm affiliated, but I promise I'm not. We have no affiliation whatsoever with these. I just love Kickstarter stuff. And I usually end up backing the number one each month. I didn't do it this month because, ooh, man, stuff gets kind of expensive. but I love supporting these indie companies is one thing, of course, but then getting these products early. Sometimes they're exclusive editions, exclusive like Kickstarter editions, you know. But anyway, I sing the praises of Kickstarter, I think, too much anyway. And people are getting suspicious. So I'll just stop there. It's not. But yeah, no affiliation, nothing like that. It's just excitement, you know, like fan excitement for these things. All right. Next little bit of news is, speaking of fan excitement, there is a new movie coming out called The Electric State. Now, this is a thriller that's based on an illustrated novel by Simon Stålenhag. And he, if his name sounds familiar, he worked on Tales from the Loop, which was on Amazon Prime a couple years ago. I think last year it came out, maybe the year before. Great, great show. Oh, I love that show so much. It's basically like apocalyptic, and there's giant robots, you know, and all this is based on his paintings and his illustrations. He does books, illustrated novels with this theme, which is just, oh, it's phenomenal. His art is incredible. I'm an artist myself, and I just feel like this kindred spirit with people who, you know, who can, I mean, I can't paint like that, but I feel like, you know, I really appreciate the art of stuff like that. This kind of mixing of, you know, like modern day, just, you know, Norman Rockwell, and then in the background there's a giant mech, right? I mean, that's cool stuff. I love that. So that's what Simon does primarily. And this new apocalyptic thriller, it's going to Netflix, straight to Netflix. It's called The Electric State, and it's supposed to star, now right now, confirmed, is Millie Bobby Brown. Millie Bobby Brown, of course, plays 11 on Stranger Things. My wife and I just finished season 4 of that. No spoilers, but it's pretty crazy. And so, you know, she's gotten a lot of roles off of Stranger Things. Of course, you know, several years ago, she started out as just a little girl, you know, and now she's pretty much grown up and she's doing all these big roles. And I always see her like on the red carpet and all these things. So it's, you know, good for her. She's doing really great with this whole acting thing. And so this is exciting. And she's a really good actress. I mean, if you watch Stranger Things, she's really, really good. So it's exciting to see her in this new film. I believe it's a film. I don't think it's a series, but that's pretty much all they've said about it so far. Is it's called The Electric State. It's based on Simon Stålenhag's art, his illustrated novel that he did, and in much the same way as Tales from the Loop did. But here's something that I find pretty interesting is there's rumors that Chris Pratt will be in it as well. This is not confirmed. I think that they've said someone, I think someone said that he was, and he didn't deny it, or I don't know, one of those things. Anyway, so here's the premise of the show. It's set in a post-apocalyptic 1997. You remember 1997? That was a long time ago. So it's set in a, you know, alternate history at this point. It's a story of a girl named Michelle and her little toy robot named Skip. Now, what I'm thinking is Chris Pratt probably does the voice of Skip. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. Nothing confirmed, but that's my guess. They go across the Western United States in a stolen car to find her missing brother. Now, it's a, it's a post-apocalyptic 1997. So, again, kind of like Stranger Things, where it's a, alternate history of the 80s. This will be an alternate history of the 90s, the late 90s. It was a good time, late 90s. Who here remembers? See a show of hands of those who remember the late 90s. I was in my 20s, it was a good time. Good time. So this is kind of, the premise of it there. Again, only Millie Bobby Brown has been confirmed. This is being directed by the Russo brothers, who you probably know from, the Avengers, all those Marvel movies, the Marvel movies that are, I think most of them are on Disney now, but they might have them on Netflix too. Anthony Russo and Joe Russo are their names. They worked on, all those Avenger movies. So if you're a big fan of theirs, it's pretty much guaranteed that there's going to be some pretty high action in this one, I would say. So along with Russo brothers, there's also Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who are writers on the Avengers movies, are going to write the screenplay for this as well. So that's pretty cool. I really like that. This is going straight to Netflix. No release date. Nothing like that has been announced yet, but keep your eye on it. I don't even think there's very much information on IMDb yet about this. So you might say you heard it here first, although you might not have. I don't know. All right, next bit of news is a game. Oh boy, this game, I am so excited for this game. So anyone who listens to this knows I like to talk about games, right? I mean, I like it all. I like everything, comics, books, movies, TV shows, I like it all. But games are kind of my bread and butter, right? It's been that way I've been writing about games for 16 years, something like that, talking about games on podcasts. So this new game called Age of Water is an MMO. Now, MMOs were my thing for a long time when I worked at Massively and Joystick. So I'm very excited about this. Of course, for those who don't know, MMO stands for Massively Multiplayer Online. Usually it's MMORPG, so you throw on the role-playing game at the end there. But Age of Water is a game about the end of the world. The world floods, and the only thing left are little tips of skyscrapers sticking up out of the water. And, you can see down, the cities down below underwater and stuff like that. So you scrap together a boat, right? But then you find out that there are a lot of people who survived, and they all live on top of these skyscrapers, which are just barely sticking out of the water. They're not way up there, according to the trailer. So you're fighting these people. There's pirates. You're building, you're building your boat. You're building your base. Everyone gets their own little base, like a solid base that's not a floating base. There's battles. There's crafting. There's tons of craft. It looks like there's pretty extensive crafting. There's PvP, there's trade, so there's like a big economy, which is always a big draw of an MMO. But this is all information just from the website and from the trailer that was just released. Other than that, there's not really too much left. Here's what the official description says. It says, the ocean destroyed a once great civilization, but people survived and adapted. They built settlements on the roofs of tall buildings and on the tops of other man-made structures. So you think, like Statue of Liberty or something like that, probably. People travel across the ocean in tiny boats and huge combat vessels. The ocean provides everything they need, including extractable resources on the seabed. And yet the dream of real land is still alive. So yeah, there's also underwater exploration, underwater battles, I think. I'm pretty sure it looked like it was in the trailer. But as I say in this article that I wrote about this, this is kind of my holy grail, right? Because I'm a big fan of games like Wildlands and Flotsam. I mean, if you've been watching the streaming channel at Post-Apocalyptic Media, I've been playing a lot of Raft, Flotsam, Wildlands. These are all pretty much water, sea-based, survival, build, craft games, right? And that's my thing. I love that stuff. So I'm explaining all this because I'm letting you know that I'm really excited about this game. This is a big deal. I'm really excited about this one. I'm going to keep an eye on this one. I'm sure I'll be writing a lot more about it and all that. So if that's your thing too, then what you can do is you can actually sign up for beta testing. They have a closed beta right now. Well, they're going to have the closed beta in a little while. So you can sign up for testing now, which I did immediately, of course, and see if maybe it's something you want to play yourself. So, yeah, check that out. Age of Water, it's called. All right. Next piece of news. This is about Chris Hemsworth. I've talked about Furiosa quite a bit on this show. I'm really excited. I'm a big Mad Max fan from the originals. And when I say original, I don't mean Fury Road. Stop it. Fury Road is not the original Mad Max. Stop it. I've been a big fan of Mad Max for a long, long time. And the original Mad Max is my favorite movie forever. And I really like, Fury Road was a good movie. It was a great movie. I mean, I think Fury Road was better than Thunderdome, I could even say, and then lose half my listenership. But that's my opinion. They're making this new prequel to Fury Road. It's going to have a little younger Furiosa in it. And, it's going to tell her origin story, right? We know that. We've talked about that. Well, so Chris Hemsworth hasn't been confirmed in a role yet. People don't really know what he's going to, who he's going to play. But there's rumors and everything points to him playing a character named Dementis. And in they have a synopsis that they released where it says Warlord Dementis. Again, I've talked about this before, but I don't assume that everyone has listened to every one of these podcasts. So I have to, I'll explain things again. In the game, there's a Mad Max game that came up for consoles and PC. There's a character in there named Dementis. He rules the biker horde, right? And he took over Gastown, right? And he's at war with Immortan Joe in the lore. So this is all kind of pointing to the fact that, so Chris Hemsworth is going to play Dementis. We're, probably 90% sure. He has been named as the warlord of the biker horde, so there you go right there. And what I feel like, I wrote this in the article, and I feel like he's going to be a protagonist because he's going to be like a protagonist antagonist kind of thing mixed. That's how I feel. I feel like he's going to be a bad guy to Immortan Joe because they're at war. Well, Furiosa was kidnapped by Immortan Joe in the Citadel, right? She was kidnapped from the Green Place. This is all in the lore. She was kidnapped from the Green Place and brought to the Citadel. And so she's, raised by Immortan Joe, but you wouldn't really say she's on his side, right? I mean, if someone kidnapped you, you get Stockholm Syndrome. But aside from that, years and years and years later, you're probably going to jump at the opportunity to slit that guy's throat, right? So that's what I feel. I feel like Chris Hemsworth's character will probably be a antagonist to Immortan Joe, but then eventually probably become allied with Furiosa in some way. Now, we do know that Dementis dies. Again, this is all in the game and this is all in the lore. Sorry if that's a spoiler for the movie. I don't think it is, because who knows what the movie's going to be about. I'm just calling this out right now. So basically, they don't mention him in Fury Road at all. And so his time has passed. By the time we get, I think it's supposed to be 20 years to the point of Fury Road, there is no more Dementis, or at least he's not talked about. So that's what I'm calling right now as maybe a side story or maybe even the main plot. I don't know. There you go. I like to do that. I like to see how close I am to call. I'm not usually right, but I like to do it anyway. I don't know why. All right. So we actually have a lot more on the site that I don't talk about here on the podcast. And most of that is because I just, you know, there's certain topics I want to cover that I feel are big topics. But I want to really quickly go over the rest of the stuff that's on the site that you should check out if you have not already. So there was an anime expo last week. There were tons. Now, anime, as you may know, loves post-apocalyptic and vice versa, right? There are a lot of post-apocalyptic anime out there. So there's an anime expo, and it had a lot of panels, a lot of post-apocalyptic panels. One of these things is called Chainsaw Man. Anime Expo had an event for Chainsaw Man. And so Stephanie wrote all about that. Val and Stephanie both covered a lot of the information from the expo itself, including, you know, there's also one called Maiden Abyss Season 2, which is coming out. That's an anime. It's coming out very... That looks really cool. I really love the costumes in that. I haven't seen it yet, but that, you know, I haven't seen Season 1, but Season 2 looks really cool. So we have information about when that airs on the site, where you can watch it. Same with Chainsaw Man, all that information. We also have extensive coverage of Westworld Season 4, including reviews and theories, lots of theories. Stephanie's written quite a few theories on you know, where that season's going. We also have Alone, Season 9, Episode 6 recap and review. Tina's done that. So if you're a more of a fan of the survival reality shows, as I am, then, you know, check that out. I would wait until after you watch the episode, though, to read Tina's article because there are spoilers. But what I like to do is basically, you know, you watch the episode and then you go back and you read the article and you're like, oh, that's right. That's what happened right there. And then you can see if you agree with her, right? That's what I like to do in my recap and reviews. All right. So one last thing I wanted to talk about. I'm kind of saving this for last because it's really sad news. We had a death in the post-apocalyptic author community just on Tuesday. And that was Peter Meredith. Peter Meredith is a prolific author of like, you know, zombie apocalypse books, all kinds of different apocalypse, you know, plot lines he's written. He's written 41 books. And the crazy thing is he just started, I think 11 years ago. Yeah, in 2011, he just started. He said he was like 43 when he started. Which is, you know, another kind of testament to you can start later in life and still do pretty good, you know. The guy is just a genius. You know, he's done some amazing content. He's always at conventions. He has just all kinds of material out there. Different series. He has one called Generation Z. He has one called The Apocalypse Crusade. Undead World series, War of the Undead series, all these books, these different worlds of apocalypse. I mean, in addition to that, he also writes fantasy books. He writes drama, like kind of a romance drama books. And then horror, you know, I mean, zombie books could be considered horror, but he specializes in also like a separate horror genre, kind of a subtopic as well. So the guy... You know, was obviously brilliant. He's put a lot into just our entire community. You know what I mean? Like for all of us who love reading and love these types of books, he's done so much for it. And by that, I don't even mean the books completely. He's on. If you go on Facebook, there's a lot of really great like author Facebook groups about, you know, zombie author book. There's one called Written Undead, which I'm a part of. And it has all pretty much all the zombie authors, you know, the zombie apocalypse authors go on there and they talk about, you know, they talk about anything and everything actually, but it's supposed to be about, you know, about the zombie apocalypse books. Well, Peter was on there. He contributed on there all the time. I actually just emailed him about 2 weeks ago about a project I'm working on, and it's just really sad. You know what I mean? I wanted to try to say as much as I could about him and his work because I really feel like the guy needs that. You know, he needs people need to know that what he's done. He's helped people in his Facebook groups who have advice on writing, you know, on writing in this genre and getting started and all that. I've seen him help tons of people in these Facebook groups and at conventions. So, yeah, definitely a sad day. Here's the statement from his son, Peter Meredith Jr. He says, "To all my father's fans, thank you for all of your support in the past for my father's work. This morning, Peter Meredith passed away from an unexpected accident. He loved you all so much and constantly talked about how amazing his fans were. I'm sorry to bring you all this news. This account will probably be inactive for a few days as we try to process what happened to our father, husband, grandfather. We will try to keep you up to date." yeah, that's sad news. You know, that's his son has to write that probably less than 24 hours after, you know, they find out that his father passed away. And yeah, so we'll have to find out more. We don't know what the unexpected accident was. We do know that he had early onset dementia, which he announced back in late April to his fan group. He said that it's a pretty harsh disease, and he said he probably wouldn't be able to write anymore. He was working on his 42nd book, but he said in this post, he said, I probably won't finish this 42nd book. So it's sad news, but I don't know if there's a connection at all between the dementia and this accident. You know, who knows what happened? We may find out, we may not. What's really sad, though, on top of this, is just on July 2nd, just last week, was his 29th wedding anniversary to his wife and his wife, Stacy. And, you know, I posted in the article that I wrote about this, kind of a little bit of a tribute that she did to him. And this is on their anniversary. And she just basically said, you know, "You've always treated me like a queen, protected me like a warrior, and you're the most honorable man I know." So I think that pretty much sums it up, you know. Yeah, not really much else to say. I think it's sad news. Like I said, he's such a part of the community, not only for writers, but also for fans of this genre's books, that it's really close to home. You know what I mean? And it's really, it's almost personal. I didn't know the guy, but it's almost personal, just because we have such a small, tight-knit group of people, you know, who really, really are into the books of this type of genre. So, yeah, my thoughts and prayers go out to his family, his hardcore fans, you know, everyone who knew him intimately. Seemed like a good guy, definitely talented and definitely motivated. So, yeah, let's not end this on a sad note, though. I did have one other thing I want to talk about, which is I did the post-apocalyptic video roundup for YouTube. That's all done. It's basically the best of the best that I found for post-apocalyptic videos of the week, right? I do this every Wednesday. And so this first one I did is, it honors the different types of things, anywhere from there's an interview with the people who made Huxley or are making Huxley. It's a movie and a game. There's also a full movie, Prepper, from 2016 that just came out. It came out on this week on this channel, the full movie. Cloud Exiles. There's this little sneak peek for this game called Cloud Exiles, which is, it's almost like the game I was talking about a second ago, Age of Water, but where people are building up on skyscrapers, except there's no water. There's just zombies down below, just completely overrun. So they've built up and they've built all these settlements up on top of these skyscrapers. It looks really cool, I think. I'm excited about that. It's almost like Fallout Shelter, where you build the different layers, except instead of going underground, you're building up. And it's not, you know, a side scroller like Fallout Shelter. Arisen Raiders, which is a audiobook, and that is the entire reading of that audiobook is on here. And you know what's funny is I find this a lot. I'm sure there are copyright issues with this, so I'm not going to encourage you to do this, but there happen to be a lot of YouTube Audible, you know, audiobooks, not necessarily Audible, but audiobooks on YouTube that you can listen to for free. So I do that quite a bit. They usually get taken down, but, and then this last little thing here is Fallout London, which is a new Fallout mod. It's a DLC sized mod, which means it's absolutely enormous. It's the first time we've gone outside of, again, this isn't an official, it's not an official DLC for Fallout 4. But it's big enough, you know what I mean? And the quality is high enough. So you're going in London. What's cool is since it's an alternate history, it's kind of that retro history, just like the rest of the Fallout games. There's a lot of like Beatles-esque music playing in the background. And I don't know where they got it from. I don't know if they hired bands to make like, you know, Beatles music that's similar to the Beatles, but not exactly the Beatles. So, you know, you're dealing with that. And then there's the map, the London map itself. Well, this video here highlights just one of the weapons in Fallout London, and that is called the Camelot Merc. It's a shotgun. It's like a double barrel shotgun, but it's kind of shaped like a lance. Like it has the handguard on the front, which is pretty cool. And you can get like a really long version of the shotgun, or you can get like a sawed off version. And you can make like flame attachments, so it shoots, you know, fiery shotgun shells. So this video is a, you know, really quick, simple video, but it shows not only this weapon, it shows more from Fallout London, which I'm very excited about. I need to play that. So yeah, there's that. That's the whole YouTube roundup. I hope you check that out and enjoy that. Again, there's so much more on the site than what I talk about here. And this is just, you know, this is a very cut and dry, quick and dirty, as they say, you know, kind of a recap of what's going on the site. So check us out there. Check out all of our social media. Check out my my streams on the Post-Apocalyptic Media Twitch channel, which is also linked in the show notes, where I've been playing 3 times a week now, usually Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you have one of those days available, come check me out. I'd love to sit there, chat with you while I'm playing these games, because I'm always trying out new games. I'm always trying out new ways to die in these games. So it's a lot of fun. Check all that out. Check us out everywhere, especially postapocalyptic.com. That's where the main info is right there. So thanks again, everyone, for listening. I really appreciate it. And until next time, stay alive out there and always be ready for the big one. Bye-bye.